Action Park Media.
All right, welcome to Victory, the podcast. I'm Doug Elliott.
Kevin Connolly.
And Kevin Dillon.
Great story. Great story from the weekend.
I mean, we invited him to come. That's what it is now. We invite him.
Right. Well, the difference is, obviously, for us at Action Park, earlier in the week is better for Victory. We like to do Victory on Monday if possible. But you're out in the desert. You're willing to drive up 3 hours from the desert. So we'd like to try to back into your timeline. And if you needed to do it today, right? So, by the way, we have A.J. Buckley, who played Anna Faris's crazy boyfriend, Dave, in the last episode of Entourage that we've covered, who's had a tremendous career, and he's a great guy. We're going to get to him a little bit later in the show. But
we got a lot to talk about that. But I want to say, Dylan, we invited him because it's now, look, we got the live show coming up, right? Charlie Sheen, April 8th, Stand Up Live in Phoenix, which, if you can come, is going to be fun. But we've kind of said to Dylan, who's, you know, he's not Cal Ripken, let's be honest with you. He's,
well, he can't come before the closing bell. So he wants to record the pod a little bit later because, and it was hilarious because he was dead serious. He's like, yeah, 11:30, it's not great. The closing bell is until 1. So we gotta start booking Dylan later in the week. This week we had to go early and, you know, we can't do the podcast with
him. And I had a long talk on my drive, 3 hour drive in from the desert with my buddy, who's one of the, you know, one of the most famous short sellers in the country. And I told him that Dylan was starting his second career as a day trader. He was far more horrified than I am. I mean, and he said his quote was, and he's brilliant, by the way. He said, no one's smarter than the machines, and the machines have an incredible advantage right now, and it's getting worse by the minute. It's a dangerous game Dylan's playing. I'm not his mother.
He's a big boy.
But I think we can make him some money doing these live shows more than him trading stocks in the morning.
You don't have to worry about waking up and turning on the news and seeing that the world is ending. Yeah. Also, today we will announce the winner and the two honorable mentions of the JSX Queens Boulevard International Film Festival. That's going to come up in a little while. But let's talk about some other things. By the way, you called me on St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
I had no St. Paddy's Day.
Craziest thing ever. First of all, Connolly asked me, which he's not a poster. He's not into social media. Like 10 o'clock, St. Paddy's Day. There were 2 hours left. He's like, could you send me that video where I chugged that beer 2 years ago?
Truthfully, I didn't even realize it was St. Paddy's
That's
Day
incredible.
Until about halfway through the day.
Now, is that because you were drunk just for a random day?
No. I mean, we still drank. In fact, I think I took an Uber home. But I just didn't plan for the day. I didn't have anything green on. In fact, I had a suit on.
I find this so bizarre because I know you now 30 years. St. Paddy's is a big day. It's like Yom Kippur for
Kennedy
Jews.
Kennedy is a big personality. And so, Action Park Media is a big headache.
So you were focused on the child and work.
I just like other life things happened and I missed it. Oh, believe me, Scotty and I made up for it. We made up for it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like I said, I Ubered home from the studio. I left my car here.
Avery here?
I don't know. He pops in and out, but he's
starting to feel like this is almost, it's almost exclusively Irish at this place. Besides,
is Avery Irish? No,
of course he's Irish.
He's Canadian. I don't know that St. Paddy's Day.
You're American, you idiot. He's not Irish Canadian. Of course he is.
But
gotta be.
You know what's crazy? This thing with Entourage is that people are rewatching it. Young kids. My niece Carly sent me a message from a St. Paddy's Day party and a kid. It's got a shout out to Vinnie Barbera from Hop Hog and my niece Carly Connolly. They sent me a little St. Paddy's Day shout out that kind of made me laugh and I thought was pretty funny. So Vinnie Barbera, thanks for the toast.
Irish beer for an Irish man.
Cheers.
Irish beer for an Irish man. That's what he came up with, Vinnie Barbera. Apparently, Vinnie's decent quarterback can sling the rock. That's what I hear. Not sure how true that is.
We apparently had, it's wild, some of these shout outs, but I saw this police department in, everybody's got a podcast, but this police department in New Jersey, Sayreville, they were talking about, which was awesome. They were talking about rescue dogs and rescue animals. And, you know, I want to say it for any of you crazy anti-police people out there. We're not. We're pro-police.
We are pro-police.
Good police, not bad police, right. And not bad anybody. But they do a whole adoption thing, and they were talking about the dog, and they were showing this.
Great calves.
Yeah, it's like, look at his chiseled face and great calves. So it was funny. And then we got another shout-out on I got to look what this is.
It's just strange.
Oh, Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner, basketball podcast, somehow brought up Entourage. Oh, they were talking about HBO Max, and there's always something to watch because they can always watch Entourage. So that was very cool. And a little known thing for you, Kevin, that no agent, lawyer, manager, or anybody called me about, but Entourage is going to start playing on True TV.
True TV's having a moment right now because of the NCAA championship, right, Scotty? They play, True TV. I don't know. Is that good for us? Do we get money?
I hope so, but nobody called me, so I'm going to have to go looking for it.
You would have to think that somebody would have said, some lawyer would have called and said, hey, by the way, FYI,
you know, that's the system out here, by the way. Every 3 years, I have to, like, you know, any movies I've done, any things, I have to get someone to audit
check it out.
And they always find some money. It's really actually sad that they don't call you. Wouldn't it be nice if they called you up and go, you know what? We just did this, and we're going to give you a little money. We're going to help you out.
By the time on St. Patty's Day, by the time I, like, realized, wow, it's St. Patty's Day, and I never really got this video from my niece, and I was like, maybe I'll post something. But by the time I actually got the video, I'm like, am I going to post this at 10 o'clock tonight? The ship has sailed.
I would like you to post because Beefy Scotty, I've been fighting with Connolly to try to get this man to be a social media influencer because it will help Action Park, it will help Victory, and it will help him. But he sent me like one of his stories that was just a little funny thing about Chris Cuomo.
I love Chris Cuomo too.
Yeah, I hate him. But anyway, that's a whole different issue. I hate Chris Cuomo. But, I hate his brother Cuomo, and that's not because I'm a Republican. I just despise
him. He made a faux pas.
Yeah,
he said live TV. You do enough live TV, that kind of stuff's going to happen. Scotty, what's on your mind? What are you talking
about? Wait, I want to finish that story, though. He said, you know, in a very, you know, he was very demonstrative to say, do you know what they found in THC? And he meant to say fentanyl, but he goes, weed. And
an alarming amount of marijuana is being found in weed.
But Connolly didn't post that, which I'd like, and I posted it, and it's been forwarded.
I posted
like,
it on my stories, didn't
I? Yeah, that doesn't help you. That's just your friend. No, you need it on the main page. But it was forwarded like 14,000 times. It's been seen almost 600,000 times. I didn't put your name on it because I mean, your
photo cred.
Your voice is on there, but I don't know what you're kind of like weird with social media, where sometimes you're like, I don't want to be known, or I don't know what you want.
You don't know what I'm thinking.
I'm just trying to get more people to listen to the podcast. So however we have to do that, and if we have to use Chris Cuomo for that. But did you also see though on the news, because I want to talk about it, because 15 years ago, and I wish I remembered her name because we both loved her, but me and you saw this newscaster.
Serene Branson.
Wow. God bless you. And we saw her. She had it wasn't a stroke, but she had.
Something weird happened. She had a moment.
Some type of, and it wasn't just anxiety. It was some type of, you know, medical condition in the middle of her newscast, and it went all over the place.
It was like the Grammys or something. Yep. She was doing a live report.
By the way, before viral was viral. And right. We saw it, we felt really bad, and I reached out to her. I didn't know if she liked the show or not, but I said...
She was in season 8 when Vince is out of rehab. She was on set that day.
Yeah, and we said, we'd love to have you, and she was on the show.
Yeah, what I'm saying. She shot that day.
And so another newscaster, did you see that?
It happened.
Passed out in the middle of the thing. So it's very scary, and hopefully that doesn't happen to Dylan during one of his Cheeto Fests on this podcast. So I don't want to...
By the way, Dylan is... Dude, I think we got Dylan on the mush, bro.
Get him to try the mush?
I sent him home with some mush.
Yeah.
I sent him home with some mush. Mush is here. Mush is good. Gary, you know, listen, I love mush.
I want you to know, you're looking at someone who is, I'm on day 23 of no sugar added, no ultra processed foods. I'm doing my best. No fried. And I've been in the gym every day for the last 3 weeks. So I'm trying.
Scotty and I always talk about, like, we just don't eat. Like, it's so much, it's aggravating. Where are we eating? Swingers, this and that. By the way, until that mush runs out, and then make the call and have them send some more mush.
This guy that I follow on Instagram, this doctor who I'm following his advice, hopefully it works, but he gives you a thing when people say, I don't have time to do this and I don't have time to do that. The amount of time that we waste going to restaurants or trying to figure out where to eat, when you're right. I make my smoothie every morning. I put two mushes in it. So it's probably a lot of calories because I put all sorts of fruit, nuts, and all sorts of stuff in. But I get it, and then I don't eat again until like 2 o'clock.
Well, you're definitely burning the calories, that's for sure.
I thought you were going to say I look jacked. You're not going to say that.
Oh, you're wearing a big beefy sweatshirt.
Yeah, I'm going to fill this motherfucker out very soon. I look like Gary Goldman.
Are you
Goldman.
Excited to announce the winners of the JSX Queens Boulevard International Film Festival? We're going to do that when we get back from the break. So in closing,
Well, I'm excited about it, but I want to say, and it's not that we disagree on the winners, but you've been very, you've kind of almost bullied me into saying that I will support your vote.
You can vote for whoever you want.
I don't feel like I could, even though, again, I'm on the same path as
you.
What
are you trying to get me arrested? What are you talking about? We both voted a certain way. You had your vote.
But you were calling me and sending messages, and we got, this one's got to win.
You felt like I was bullying trying to lean on you to go a certain way?
Yeah, no, I don't think I
polling
felt.
Polling pressure?
I don't think I felt that? Anyway. I think 100% you were a lot like Trump looking for 20,000 votes. You were
just
like,
find me 11,000 votes.
I mean, I'm with you, though. I want everyone to know when we announced this, it is a consensus, but I felt like if I
made the final vote. That's how it works.
I felt like if I didn't vote your way, like my position here at Action Park could be in jeopardy.
Well, that would make me wonder about your taste. But again, we got
to set up a ballot box for you, Doug.
We should have gone silent. And can we? I don't know if we've talked about this.
By the way, we could have done a silent vote, but that would have been.
I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast, and I want to say a couple things real quick, and then I'll close this, and we'll get back to it. But Scotty looks like Luke Bryant. I've been watching a lot of American Idol. That's one. Two. I'm no longer embarrassed to love Taylor Swift. J.J. Watt posted a video yesterday how much he loved the concert. The girl's a genius. I just want to say to all the men out there that I know are disagreeing with me right now, just, you like Springsteen, you like James, if you like songwriters, Dylan, the girl's a genius. I'm telling you right now.
Springsteen, Swift.
I'm dead serious. And by the way, she's at the beginning, so imagine this.
I would not ever bet against or doubt Taylor Swift.
I want you to imagine this, though, because Springsteen now, who's in concert, in tour right now, I believe U2 is going on. Just imagine, which, God willing, she stays healthy, 2073, you're still going to see Taylor Swift concert. She did 3.5 hours. J.J. Watt was talking about it. That's giving the people what they want, and whatever. I'm just telling you, she's awesome, and I'm taking my daughter in August. It's going
to
be great.
Before we go to break to come back to announce the winners, we had a little, we did an episode of Ramble On. That might be an unairable episode of Ramble On the podcast. Doug and Ted had a little dust up.
If you want to hear gaslighting in action,
back-to-back walkouts.
I came in today.
3 years.
I've had one of the great weeks I've had in a long time out in the desert.
Did seem high when you came in.
Both my daughters out there and getting to play. I'm not allowed to mention pickleball. Getting to play with
a certain racket type sport that shall remain.
It's a paddle. They call it a paddle. But getting to play with some of the best tennis players in the world because the Indian Wells tennis tournament was happening. Was in a great mood and somehow again I got this. Great, grandiose apology.
Raw footage of you and Foxman.
But I got a great apology from Ted last week, apologizing for A, being late, B, not watching any of the material we discussed watching, so we had nothing to talk about, and somehow he reversed all of that. And I want everyone to learn from it. When you apologize, there's no buts. I am sorry. Say it. Remember when Fonzie couldn't say I'm sorry on Happy Days? So if we salvage it and air it, you'll get to hear it. How awesome you've been over the last month.
I'm awesome.
I do think some of the weed is helping you because it calms you down.
You guys give me anxiety.
This is what I'm talking about, gaslighting.
I'm not gaslighting.
That
fight was a lot.
But you know what my therapist says, Beefy?
Yo.
My therapist says nobody can give you anxiety. You are choosing to take that and doing what you want with it. As I did, Ted cannot make me angry.
Let's call it what
it was. I got angry, and I wish I didn't because it's a waste of my fucking time.
That was a top 5 APM brawl.
After watching...
Top 5.
Before we started...
Maybe top 3.
And talking about Fight Haven, which is this account on Twitter, which I'm not saying I recommend to people, but I watch it all the time. You got to... anyone, me and you and Dylan, we all know we have anger management thing. Doesn't mean somebody's not wrong, but you're a fucking idiot at 50 if you get that angry about someone talking to you. But I did. That being said, forgetting everything else, which happens a lot in relationships where you go, who's in the wrong and who's in the right? Nobody should react angrily. Nobody should yell at anybody.
Would you rather be right or happy?
I would much rather be happy, which is a line in 40, by the way. I would much rather be happy, but I would also rather not do a podcast with someone that aggravates me. That's my, you know, you want to, at this stage of your life, you want to surround yourselves with people, whoever's right or wrong, that bring out the best in you, that don't bring out the anger in you. And again, even if, like I will say, I should never get angry. There's no reason to get angry at 55 years old.
Maybe we'll just run a clip of the unairables.
I'm going to salvage the episode. We'll hear some of the battle. But anyone, check out the Ramble On episode, April 8th. Phoenix Stand Up Live, Charlie Sheen. It's going to be awesome. We'll be back.
Also, we're going to go ahead. No, we're not done. Again, don't forget the subscribe to the Action Park Media YouTube. We got shit going on, bro. We got the Quick Shift Pod. We got a new hockey pod.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know much about hockey. If we were doing the pickleball pod,
I don't know why. See, he's gaslighting me. I grew up. You'd like me to name the entire 1980 Islanders and their number?
You always trade. Yeah, that's it. But I'm talking about you.
Dennis Potvin, 5.
Current
hockey. Kenny Morrow, 6. Stephen Pearson, 7.
We are
Gary Howitt, 8. And Pat Flatley after him, 9. Clark Gillies, 10, Lorne Henning, 11, Wayne Merrick.
This is embarrassing.
Do you want me to go? 12, Dwayne Sutter.
I want to go to a break. When we come back, we are going to announce the winners of the JSX International Queens Boulevard Film Festival. Victory, the podcast, is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Victory listeners? Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the name Your Price Tool from Progressive. The name Your Price Tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the name Your Price Tool for yourself and join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Victor, the podcast, Queens Boulevard International Film Festival. Now, when you say international, where's the furthest place the film came from?
We got a few films from pretty far out. So
I don't say where.
I mean, we got one. We got one from London. We got a few from over the pond, if you will. but as always, this has been it's been a humbling almost experience to do this. And partners at JSX have been great. Behind us, you're going to fly the winners in, assuming they don't live in Los Angeles. we'll see. And then we're going to do some interviews because we're going to do a winner.
You're going to see the budget on Action Park Media when like everyone lives on the Bird Streets right next to Connolly.
We're going
to
do the winner and the two honorable mentions. But I think outside of that, you know, and don't worry, everybody, we'll do it in sort of our bonus episodes. But I think we should talk to a few of these filmmakers and more than just the winners.
I saw amazing things, and it reminds me of what we should be doing in our downtime because, you know, you get to a point where, you know, we've been rather successful in this business, but right now we're not doing that much. I know Action Park is, and I mean in the content business of video or filmmaking. and these guys made amazing stuff, and they did it quickly, too.
Right.
And with low budget. So there's no excuse for anyone out there. And I don't mean about doing our film festivals, but if you want to make films, it's what I did when I was 21. It's what Kevin did. I don't know what age you were, but you go out and you make your movies and then everybody can see what you do, which is much different than a script because I've had about 6 people in the last week ask me to read scripts. I don't like to read scripts. So please don't even bother asking me because I'm not going to, but I'll probably watch your short film if I have time.
What were your, we talked about, you know, a bunch of things and somewhere along the line where you think I was kind of pushing you.
Yeah.
What are you looking for in the 92nd JSX Queens Boulevard Film Festival winner?
I'm always looking for, in any movie, whether it's Jurassic Park or a little movie like, you know, a Woody Allen movie, whatever grabs me emotionally. Like, I'm not going to be sold, and we do have great films that showed incredible action and were awesome, but that's not what gets me into a movie. Like, I'm a guy, if you're talking an action movie, True Lies and Terminator are movies that I love. The movies that I don't love as much, and I'm not judging anybody, but I don't get emotionally attached to a lot of the Michael Bay movies. I'm not making fun of him. I wish I had his career. And obviously we had that line in Entourage that was said, but I really like both. When you can make a film like James Cameron can make where you combine both emotional and that, but that being said, doesn't mean my favorite movies can't be a simple dialogue movie. And if it makes me laugh, makes me cry, whatever it is, those are actually movies that I tend to like more than action movies as a normal thing. So I'm a little biased because some people love action movies and I get that, but it's just not my thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, whatever hits you the best, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, you know,
yeah.
So I went a lot of different directions. You know, it was always nice to see when there was some kind of connection to whether it was Queens Boulevard or Victory the podcast. There were some things that were just kind of a wink and a nod as to what we're doing. And creativity, originality, and we got so much of it that it's kind of hard to actually come to, you know, this. So, you know, with all the respect in the world to everybody that submitted, and I mean that, everybody was great. And we're gonna put a bunch of the films on our YouTube page, and a bunch of these films are going to be seen. But we're going to start.
Wait, I just want to jump in real quick before that. You said you were going to deliver from Medellin a piece of content that would be submitted to this film festival or shown alongside. What happened?
We had creative differences, Scotty. I had to fire Scotty.
So it's never going to be finished?
No, it can be finished. We just need another edit pass.
All right, so but
with
I just want
free time over here.
But also, you know, but this is what I'm saying, Scotty. He keeps
gaslighting.
No, you're not gaslighting me. It has nothing to do with me. It's about you. Everybody went out there. We have no idea who these people are, what jobs they have, what money they have, and they went out and made these things. There are, and I'm not talking about you, so you don't have to defend it. There's no excuses. If you want to be in this business, find a way to go make your content and get it seen. It's all you can do. You can continue to say, I have to work late nights, I have to do this, but nobody cares. And, you know, and as for me, you know, at this stage, 54 7/8, you know, same thing goes for me. I mean, I did make a pilot, but I probably could have made 4 since we started Ramble On. And you got to keep going until somebody says, here's a little money to go make things the way you want. So anyway, with that being said, let's talk about the honorable mentions.
Yeah, well, so for me, one of the things, and this is where you thought I was trying to kind of push you around. I was thinking when you're looking at it, what we said was, reimagine your version of Queens Boulevard, right? So it could be a scene. It could be a trailer. It could be whatever it needs to be, as long as it's original and it says, are you kidding? I am Queens Boulevard. So that said, I just kind of laid that out there, which is another thing that I learned through this is, when you were watching somebody that submitted a film in a trailer form, you had to ask yourself, does this feel like it could be a trailer for a real movie, not a trailer shot for the film festival? So to me, that was something that I considered, whether they had they were following the beats of a story and then cutting the trailer as opposed to, you know what I'm saying?
So- yeah, I 100% what I'm saying. And I also want to add to that, I know how freaking hard it is because I try to write a trailer for the second and third episode of Ramble On, and I know what the stories are.
And you still can't write that.
It was really hard to figure out how to do it on a budget. And, you know, we actually, just a little update for that Phoenix 8th, we're going to show the first footage of Ramble On. I'm spending a considerable amount of money.
We're doing a trailer, Ramble On trailer launch in Phoenix. That'll be awesome.
And you know how much I'm involved with editing and stuff. And still, I could not make a trailer of my own show the way we have one of the best trailer companies in the business that's going to do it. And
but
it's hard.
It's a thing. It's a whole separate thing.
It is difficult. And I was very impressed with these guys.
Can we get that editor on Connolly's Medellin cut?
Ooh, look at Scotty.
You can for about
Scotty
30 grand.
Scotty, take a shot. Okay, so the first honorable mention, you know, listen, it's our last winner, Tyler Mendelsohn. He made a great trailer for Queens Boulevard. Mm-hmm. To me, it felt like it was a trailer for a movie. In fact, Zulai watched it and she says, when does that come out? Zulai thought that it was a trailer
for a
real movie. So for me, and also, I don't know if you noticed, but he shot at every location that we shot. When we shot that episode of Entourage in Queens, they shot, I believe, almost every location. The
house.
It's
mind-boggling.
The bar, the bridge, all of the locations.
And I was trying to think, and maybe it's this easy and I should have done this before. Could you just Google Entourage house in Queens and it'll come up? Because it's not that easy. I couldn't find that
Tyler Mendelsohn is a filmmaker.
Yeah, he is.
As he is now proven for a second time.
And
so I have no doubt doubt in my mind that wherever, whatever he did, you know.
And he also is a, you know, a veteran.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's a veteran.
And I want to say,
his last film,
that
too.
Is not why he's got the honorable mention. It has nothing to do with that. While
he is. It was just detailed, and it just felt like they were working off a movie that they shot.
Yeah, it was really great.
And here's the other thing, too. We haven't figured out how we're going to do it. I would love to be able to let, you know, do a kind of a vote from people. I don't know. Can you do that on YouTube, Scotty?
Yeah.
How could we
let do it people, on the Victory Instagram?
Right. Let people judge for themselves in the comments.
The top three.
Play the final. The final.
And what happens if it doesn't come out?
I'm just
the way
saying,
we
like, I'd be curious to see if people agreed with me or not. But like, no, Tyler is there because, you know, he was supposed to be there. Just like our next guy, our second honorable mention, Leo Kai Angelos, who delivered an action-packed movie trailer that was shot. I mean, the production value and the production quality of this thing is so crazy that when we first saw that, it was almost like, this is let's just shut down shop right now.
It was that, and we had the argument of how much should Leo spend to get this made. It was that good.
Right. We were talking about it in the office for days.
Yeah, which, by the way, two things. I'm embarrassed about that. It looks like that scene in Collateral with Cruise. I mean, it's that freaking good looking.
He's got the face-off shots, right?
But then I saw the behind the scenes of how he did it, and I'm like, I've never been a special effects guy.
I was even confused by that.
He did it like in his apartment, I think, or something, and it's all right,
were those storyboards, or
he blocked it out in his apartment.
That's what I'm saying. We're gonna get him.
Oh, so those were storyboards. He didn't digitally make the.
He was storyboarding.
I'm a
which
dialogue
is why we need
guy.
To get we need to get Leo and Tyler in because we want to hear about their process. The other thing about Leo's film is that it just had us debating for days. We had Steven Fierberg, who is the DP of the Entourage movie in multiple seasons. Gary Goldman, Scotty, myself, we're all in there arguing about this guy's budget, how many days it took. You know, we're in there arguing about this stuff. And it's like, well, we're going to find out because we're going to interview the guy, you know, about what the process was. But it's anywhere from, I mean, I don't even know. I don't even want to put a number on it. But what this guy did was something very, very, very special. And they all kind of land on this level. But somebody had to be the winner. And
But I also want to say, because they're, and not to say that they weren't all exceptionally well made, but, you know, you look at one of those things, and I've seen thousands of short films, and I was at the American Film Institute with Darren Aronofsky and Todd Field and Mark Waters and Scott Silver all at the same time, and I'm telling you, this thing would have blown everybody away technically, especially given the time frame, and I'm assuming the limited budget that he had. So I hope...
I guess he pulled a bunch of favors. I mean, we're going to find out.
But what I want to say is I hope that we're able to get these guys out there. And unfortunately, I wish we had a studio and could just employ them right now. Because, you know, Spielberg got discovered off a short film.
If this were in the 90s, these guys could end up with a bungalow at Amblin and Universal. I mean, they're...
I hope we can help spread it out a little bit and these guys can actually get work. I also want to find out, though, if he does work. Because this does not look like
a guy who's out messing around, right?
Yeah,
he's got to work. They're both super well lit. You could tell they just brought some kind of production value, but you can just see the blood and sweat and the labor that went into these movies. You know, so and not that it didn't go into everybody's movie, but like I said, we had to narrow it down. We went from five, tried to keep an open mind. We got it down to three.
And now Kevin Connolly will announce the winner of the International JSX Queens Boulevard Film Festival.
The winner of the JSX Queens Boulevard International Film Festival is, in fact, an international film. Jonathan Benjamin. I believe was that out of Montreal? He's French-Canadian. Again, this guy, he came in late. He was a late, late, late submission. He barely got in under the wire.
How do you know he's French-Canadian?
That's kind of what the dialect is, right?
It might be Ben Simone.
Ben Simone.
He also might have just made a film that's not about his own background.
No, it's definitely a foreign film. I think we're going to fall into the foreign film category. But
do you think you were swayed by that?
When this happened, no, I was just shocked that it's for sure one of the best looking. Whoever that DP was, again, we'll get him on here. The DP was, but they also paid a little homage to Victory and Entourage, and even took a shot at Grenier for not coming on the podcast. but it just was, I guess the best way to say it was just smooth. right? What Scotty, you agree?
I thought it was very subtle and very intelligent and, you know, very detail oriented, funny. Right.
Funny.
Interesting.
To the point. It just was clean.
He maximized the amount of time and did it in a very creative way. And I had a tough time making a decision, to be honest with you.
Right.
And, and I'm also a guy who, you know, especially since we lost six straight Emmys or five straight Emmys.
But I could see you gravitating towards a movie like that more than an action movie, is what I'm saying.
It's more my type of thing.
Which is but your entire. To obviously
that
right?
being said, I believe 100%. You know, our honorable mention guys, they may go make $200 million movies, which
you're
nobody will ever hire.
You're gonna
me
be
for.
Asking you, you're gonna be like, hey, if you need any rewrite work, Leo,
yeah, exactly, a little dialogue,
hey, Tyler,
polish.
If you need a little polish, let me know, give me a call. But we're gonna talk to both these guys, and then maybe you're right, Scott. I mean, we again, most of any contact except for Tyler has been through email, so maybe it is Jonathan Bensimon. Is that how you would say it?
It could be.
We don't know. We don't have the pronunciation of his last name. But his film, I don't know, it made the rounds. And, you know, when we tallied up the votes, I mean, it just kind of was what it was. But not to take, obviously, anything away from the honorable mentions or the finalists. But, you know, at a certain point, you got to weed it down. So we'll be in touch with Jonathan and Leo and Tyler, because, you know, we want to talk to everybody, hear about their process. And yeah, man, there'll be some interesting stuff.
And I also don't want people to think we had like 9 submissions. We had hundreds of submissions.
No, it was like just under 100 submissions, right. which is, you know.
I try to make it sound.
We had more than 100, Kev.
Yeah, I thought we did.
Right, but it wasn't like hundreds. But oh, it was with me. Look at that.
You know what? He doesn't like the fake it till you make it. Just fucking, we're big, bro.
All right, so that's congratulations to all the JSX Queens Boulevard International Film Festival nominees. Thank you again. And our winner and our 2 honorable mentions. We will be in touch. And when we come back from the break, AJ Buckley in the house. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm always feeling like my best self when I get some exercise. When I'm in a good routine and I'm able to string together a bunch of days of exercise, that's when I'm always feeling at my best. And when you're at your best, you can do great things. But sometimes, it is what it is. Life can get bogged down. You may feel overwhelmed, like you're not showing up the way you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, we talk about it all the time on Victory. I've benefited from therapy. I like it. You know, some people think it's not for them. A lot of people are uncomfortable. They think it's too expensive. They don't want to talk to strangers. I mean, I get it. But therapy is good. BetterHelp is good. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist at any time for no charge. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Trust me. Visit BetterHelp.com/victory today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/victory.
All right. Welcome back, Victory, the podcast. You know, sometimes we get... you write a part and you see something in your head and someone comes on and really, I mean this sincerely, crushes it to a level that I had a hard time on the set. And it was weird because AJ Buckley will be on in a second. But when I re-looked at this episode, which I haven't seen in years, my thought was, I hope he makes me laugh the way I remember
laughing.
And at the time, I've talked about this before, but Randy Jackson was like huge in culture. So I kept putting this dog thing in and AJ Buckley brought his own thing to it. And anyway, from South Carolina, I don't know if you're shooting SEAL Team right now, but you're in South Carolina. What's going on, AJ?
What's up, guys? Sorry. Thanks so much for having me.
You kidding? We've been teeing you up. So dog actually came through. I'm glad we got you on.
I'm really, really excited. I've been listening to you guys from the get. So congratulations on all the stuff for Action Park and all the stuff you're doing with this. It's such a great podcast, and I'm so fucking pumped to be on it. But I moved to South Carolina in 2020 with the family. So I still shoot the show with SEAL Team in LA. I go back in May. I got out of LA and. Got a little piece of, little slice of heaven on the water out here. It's nice and quiet and raising the kids and it's good.
And so, this it's interesting, your journey. And I want to talk to you about how much comedy you've
done or not done, and also dive a little deeper into this Entourage episode. And because I was saying the other day to Kevin how you really brought some dark, slight dark drama to it as well, which I thought was really interesting on a watch back. But now you're doing CSI, you were doing, and you were kind of like nerdy. And then now you're a Navy SEAL. So
Doug is very into fitness. So get ready to talk about your diet and like how many push-ups.
Yeah. And if you want to do the shirtless, you know. So
there we go.
So after, when you're going up for SEAL team, I don't know what kind of fitness or condition you were in. Did you get yourself kind of in shape for this role, or I mean, before you even got it, or how did that go about?
It was kind of like a crazy, I did it a series prior to called Justified. I was the villain in season 4 of Justified. And then Ben Cabell, who's the creator of the show of SEAL Team, who was the writer on Justified, said, hey, I'm writing this character on SEAL Team. And I had you in mind for it. So I was up in Canada doing this mini series, and it was actually weird how life just sort of works out, but I had to gain a bunch of weight for this character. Cause in the beginning of the mini series, he's this sort of, alcoholic cop. And then the end of it, he sobers up and sort of find his way based on a true story of these Mennonites that were moving cocaine, across the Mexican border, these Mormons. And Amish, it's crazy. So anyway, so I had to start off really fast. I gained like 15 pounds. And then I got, over the course of 6 months, I got just an insane shape. I had to drop all this weight over it. And when I got back, I happened to be just in like the best shape of my life. And that's when Ben called. He's like, we're going to bring you in and read for this. And I went in and I met everybody. And I just ended up getting it. And it's been... Yeah, when I say like it's a role, I don't want it to end. It is like, you know, we're all like kids and we run around our backyard playing guns, and you know, like we get to fly around in Blackhawks all day, and like it's straight tropic thunder every day. Yeah. Right.
And what season are you guys on?
We're starting season 7.
Jesus, that's a hell of a run.
How long?
Yeah, bro. It's who knows, man. I mean, you know, it's been. Because we started on CBS, and then it was this weird thing because it wasn't like your typical procedural drama. So it was a serialized drama, and then it when Paramount Plus launched, and we were sort of always on the bubble. We didn't know if we were coming back. We're a big show, expensive show. We did well, but we weren't, you know, knocking it out of the park. And then Paramount Plus said, let's try it over there. And it took on a life of its own. It became a number one show over there. And,
wow.
It gave us just legs that we didn't know that we had. And it found a whole new audience. And yeah, but now we're one of their top shows on that platform, which is great. It literally is like the crew, like over 60% of our crew are veterans. All our stunt doubles are former special operations. You know, we've got guys from the Bin Laden mission working with us, guys from Delta. But it's, you know, and when you use the word brotherhood, you know, it's like, it really is like this, it's such an incredible place to go to work. And there's not a day that I don't drive onto the CBS lot and say thank you. It's really good. And the crazy thing is I shot CSI New York on stage 3 for 9 years, and now I'm on stage 23, and I drive by that every single morning and go over to stage 23. But it's,
we talk about it all the time. It's good that you recognize that and that you appreciate it. And it's important because not everybody does that. And stop and smell the room.
And AJ, I just, a couple of months ago, I was at a big Navy SEALs Foundation charity dinner. Have you had a chance to spend a lot of time with these guys?
I have, and I've become really, it's become like a sort of something I'm incredibly passionate about with various different foundations. Gary Sinise, somebody who, you know, I looked up when I was doing CSI New York. And then once I got this, I reached out to him and was like, hey, how do I use my platform? What do I do? Cause there's, you know, like with everything, there's a good intention. There's people that, you know, are trying to rip people off and stuff like that. So through Gary's foundation, which is probably one of the best foundations out there. And that's coming from the guys on the ground that say just what the Gary Sinise Foundation does and who Gary is. And then a bunch of other foundations that I've started working with, No Fallen Heroes and the Boot Campaign. But it's really become something that I've got incredibly involved with our military guys, because it sucks, man. It's when you have these guys who, you know, you know, sacrifice so much, come back, and there's fucking nothing for them, man. There is no help for these guys. And, you know, you put, you know, especially for our special operations guys, they put, you know, tens of millions of dollars into training these guys. They put no money into, you know, rehabilitating them, or it's like, just here's some pills and go home and deal with it. And you know, those numbers are real that they talk about, that, you know, that 22 a day, committing suicide, those are all real numbers. And so, and there's all these foundations, what Gary does, what, you know, Vaughn Heroes and all these other ones do, they really help guys get, when they get back, to transition back into society and find their voice and find their way. And then also too, to, which is something I'm really proud of the show, is to, you know, it's okay to talk about what's going on inside, you know. And then I'm sure we all have friends, as men, that we've, you know, been going through some stuff, but we've had to push it down and not show our emotion. And especially these guys, what I think is becoming more of a topic where it's okay to, you know, hey, I'm having a shitty day and I need to talk to somebody about it. And, you know, the mental health is a real situation that goes on in our country, especially with these guys. So it's been awesome to be able to use the platform of the show to really help raise some money for these guys coming home.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing at the charity event, to listen to the stories. And you always, you know, our whole childhood, we grew up thinking as Navy SEALs, as these incredible heroes, which they are, who just are immune to all of the stuff that the rest of us are dealing with. And
yeah,
I'm going to go down to with my son. I'm going to take him to see them train in San Diego, which is going to be wild.
Oh.
And really, you know, see what they go through. But I got to speak to a number of them, and the stories, they're really horrific. So anyone who can support any of these foundations, Gary Sinise, if you don't know, is Major Dan from Forrest Gump and one of the great actors that we have. Yeah. And he's been very, very helpful to them. So it's great. It's great what you're doing, and everybody check out your show.
You know, I can't real quick, Doug, I can't think of a ton of positive things that social media has done for the country necessarily. But one thing that where it's helped is with, I think, mental health and mental illness.
100%.
It opened up the world for people to go, and the stigma is different. They're used to stigma to it, and somehow, some way, that stigma seems to be gone, and people are just more comfortable talking about it. So as much as we all hate social media, once in a while, it pitches in.
I mean, I know about you guys, like, because we're all dads now, and it's like, once we get in a father, I never thought of my mortality more than until I became a father. And like, just of like the things, like, I don't want to miss things. I want to be here I want to see my kids, you know, my daughter walk down the aisle. I want to, like, those things. And so it's like all the other things that I would like, just like either push down or take chances of, now I'm like, oh God, no, I want to, what can I do to, like, preserve my life?
And it is about, you know, mental and physical health and getting there, well, you know. For me now, having my second go around with kids, it's more important than ever. And I think, you know, what you're saying, which everybody who's out there is thinking about getting into this business, you know, there's very few people who are as fortunate as you have been to go work 15 straight years in the television business. It's nearly impossible. And, you know, one of the things that's really tough about this business, especially when you have a family, is you could be a big star. And I mean, you know, as a writer, as a director, as an actor, whatever, and the next minute you're essentially, you're doing a podcast with Connolly. So it's like,
now you work for me. How
the tables have turned.
So AJ, I want to talk about, you know, a couple of things.
Are you a good auditioner?
You know, I have a learning disability, and I have to, I'm basically, next to impossible for me to read. I have to hear everything to memorize it. So I have somebody read me the lines, and then I'll pick it up pretty quick. So it took me a long time to get there. But what it forced me to do was be off book. Once I was off book, then I was able to, my own self-doubt going into the room, it allowed me to be free. And it was like, so once I sort of, like, because I thought I'd go in there, and once I'd had to look down at the words, everything flipped, and I'd start to sweat, and it would just bumbling idiot, and I'd have to, like, oh, I have this learning disability. But then that just became a fucking crutch. Like, why am I making excuses? Like, just got to find a way to make it work, and so I don't have to look like an idiot in the room. And so I just figured out a way to make it work, and that was getting off book and somebody just reading my lines out loud. And once I came off book, it was like, I'm just going to go in and have fun and kind of give them my idea. And I also had this sort of epiphany where it was like, and I think it was like one of the first times I sat on the opposite side of the camera and was producing something, and I saw all these people coming in and reading. And it's amazing. And you guys have done this 100 times over, but it's like how different everybody is. And in your mind, you're like, oh, that guy's my competition, or this person's my competition. It's like, there is no competition. It's like, you're your own and only competition. It's like, you're either the guy that's going to get the part, because when you walk, well, you're not. And all you can do is control what you can do. And that's it.
AJ,
yeah, you cannot go.
Yo, Ben Stiller said to me one time, he was casting a movie. He said, you know, it's amazing that anybody gets any role. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's so specific that it's hard to imagine that actors get jobs at all. I mean, Doug, what's your memory, if any, of auditioning for Doug and Entourage? Oh. Do you remember this?
I will never forget this because this is a time when I hadn't booked CSI yet. I was had been living in my car, and I'd gotten Sarah Lum was my manager, and
excuse the politically incorrect statement.
Sarah Lum and her amazing cookies. I miss that woman. She was like, hey, there's this great role. And I read it. I was like, for some reason, I just instantly got it. And you know, not to change your guys' horn, but when it's good writing, it's really easy to memorize. And I had this rhythm with it. I came in the first time and then they're like, hey, come back. But I was wearing like some sort of hat to like lose the hat. I think I auditioned like 4 or 5 times. I remember reading the last time with you, Kevin, in the room.
Yeah.
And I wore a leather vest, and you kept on saying, the fucking vest. I love the vest.
You know, every once in a while, a role comes down the pipe and you're like, all right, I'm just going to have to take an interest in this one. Right. So
yeah.
When I read the script, I was like, this is a really, really, really good role. So then I would call Doug and be like, yo, man, this is whatever. If you guys should need me, or you want me to jump in on a session and read with some people. Cause to me, it was, of course you knocked it out of the park, but it was also on the page. It was like, this could be really good if somebody does this. Yeah. Right away, that first time, and the first time you opened your mouth, it was just over. Right. And it just, they, like you said, you didn't beat anybody else out. You were the guy.
Yeah. And it's so much better. Like if they get an opportunity when another actor on the show comes in and like goes to read with you, because you find that you know, all the respect to cast directors or readers in the room, but they know the thing, and it's like it just brings it alive, and it gets right. For me, I get really excited because I'm like, okay, we're gonna really get into it. It's gonna be a really fun thing. But you guys, everybody was just so, you know, that whole experience, and I mean it truly, like that when that role came out, that completely changed the trajectory of my career. Like it was hard for me to get into Runes, and I got that, and then I was getting opportunities like I hadn't got before, and then I got CSI New York and had a couple of it, but still, I even like it was about a year or two ago. I was in Vegas and some guy, we were playing blackjack or something, and he's standing behind me. He goes, yes, you never got me that Coke. I was like, what? I'd had a couple of cocktails. I'm like, I didn't, what? I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you never got me that Coke. That was like, the guy's rising. I'm like, oh, damn. Oh, yeah.
The one line that I said, you know,
that's amazing, because you are, I mean, you are almost a completely different person physically to where on that thing. And I don't even know if I would recognize you if I saw that. But two things I want to just go back on, like you said, learning disabilities, and this is not for political correctness, but since my son has it also, now they call it learning differences. And I want everyone to understand the reason I say that, because we have a lot of great actors. Kevin Dillon is dyslexic. And
It's hard to read the words on the page.
But what I'm saying is it's not a disability, and some of our greatest creative people are absolutely brilliant people. And I need, like, when people say, oh, he's just a dumb actor, you don't take somebody's script and have no idea what the hell it is and interpret it in a way like AJ did on this without being extremely intelligent. And, you know, it's why I say what I wanted to get into, and I don't know if you felt this or made choices that were like this, but we all know this guy. We all have beautiful actors, actresses, whatever you call them, that that we have spent time with that have somehow end up with this fucking boyfriend.
Yeah.
Competing with them, dangerous, crazy. Did you see any drama in this?
Oh, yeah. I knew a guy, and I won't say his name, but I knew a guy that was dating a fairly well-known actress, and he was so not happy that of the success, and he was trying to almost manage her and give her the advice, and we're all like, you should probably listen to your manager or not. You know, it was sort of this, it was so weird. And and this is, 10, 15 years ago, but it was we're young and stuff like that. And this girl's got so much opportunity, and he's just giving the worst. And I was like, and it was right around that time. I'm like, oh, this is the guy. That's the guy. And the reason why I found that leather vest, because this guy wore leather vest. And he always said, yeah, I was like, I got to wear the leather vest.
We have to track him down.
It's funny. When I'm doing my best acting is when I'm not really speaking. And when we just watched the episode, and I really am not doing a ton of the talking. I'm just reacting, but I also know myself. And I also know when I'm enjoying a performance, I'm just sitting there the whole time. Like, I got sunglasses on, but I'm just basically trying to keep a straight face because the whole thing is flying out of the trailer and slamming the door, all this kind of shit. I'm just kind of standing there watching it,
but also
not get involved.
But also what I think is so interesting, and the comedy is great, but
it was dark in hindsight.
No, but I like to write assholes. And the biggest thing, Ari, whoever, about an asshole, they have to somehow have this likable quality. You have to find the empathy in them. And I really actually, watching it 10 years later, I felt bad for this guy because you could really see how much he's struggling with his own existence. And we all know we've been in that spot at some point in our careers here where we're just like, everybody's doing better than us. It all sucks. And that scene at the car with you and Connolly, where it was just it was dramatic. I don't know. Did you have a chance to look at the episode?
Yeah, I did. I watched it last night to go through to remember. It was I laughed out a couple when we were doing the photo shoot thing too. I was just like, oh, it was like, because I remember I talked to you and you were just like, you said something I said something about I don't know, but you were like, just do whatever you're doing. And I was talking about her inner animal. It's you're like, what did you say? And I'm like, am I here for her? And you just kept saying, keep going. We'll have it. But there was, it was that same sort of thing. It was the scene at the car. And I don't know who said it to me on the set, but it was you're trying to hold on to water, it's just slipping through your hands. And I was just like, oh, that's a perfect way to do it.
By the way, that's something like a great acting note. That definitely wasn't you've done. By the way, it's slipping through your hands. It's leaking. It's a sinking ship. It's over. Yeah. By the way, Greystone Manor. There will be blood.
Yeah.
Kevin Dillon, the guy from Mulholland Drive.
I listened to that podcast. Yeah.
absolutely ridiculous. Sometimes picking wine can be hard. You're not sure which wine to pick. There's so many. You're at a crowded supermarket, cruising the wine aisle, feeling lost, intimidated, or just tired of always buying the same thing. You want to explore, but you don't know where to begin. That's why you need First Leaf. Here's why. As America's most personalized wine company, First Leaf takes the guesswork out of wine selection. It's easy. You take their short taste quiz and rate the first few wines they send you. Then First Leaf will use your response to curate customized selection of delicious, award-winning wines based on your personal preferences. With a 96% accuracy, a variety of new and exciting wines will be delivered to your door, with each bottle priced lower than what you would pay at a wine store. You even get to choose when you receive your wine, and every selection is backed by First Leaf's satisfaction guaranteed. When I'm driving home to pick up a bottle of wine for dinner, I stare at the wall. There's so many selections. There's wine everywhere. I don't know which way is left or which way is right. So that's why if you sign up today and get your first six bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping, go to tryfirstleaf.com/victory. That's tryfirstleaf.com/victory to get your first six bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. Tryfirstleaf.com/victory. AJ.
Wait, I want to just bring us in.
All right, bring us into it.
Okay, because I think...
This
I'm going to see the information.
It's going to stun the Victory podcast.
This is how Larry Sanders did an episode where I don't know if you watched that show, AJ, but Larry did an episode where he realizes he doesn't really know anybody that he works with, all these people that work for him and cater him. And when I saw that when I was on Entourage, I remember saying, get involved with everybody's personal lives, really feel like you're part of the team, remember everybody's name, look them in the face. And the next thing I know, I had a like one of our assistants hysterically crying in my office about her boyfriend's breakup. And I said, this is probably the wrong move. But I just got information and I don't even want to throw it out because I have no idea.
You dated Emmanuel.
Oh, and I wanted to say, you're going to kill this audience. Did you live with Emmanuel?
Yeah. We were, it was one of my very first girlfriends. And she's still one of my dearest friends.
Well, I spoke to her this morning. She says to give the bad, our best, you and the wife. You guys, she invites you guys to the London premiere of the movie?
Yeah, we went out to what
you were in London for the premiere. Emmanuel. Yeah, friends with the family, everybody's.
Shreeks is the best, man.
So you're obviously not this kind of boyfriend with Emmanuel. Otherwise,
No. We were kids, man. We were like 21. Like it was an awesome time in your life where you look back and you're like, man, that was such a great, great experience in life. And it's in life when people cross paths and it's just like a great experience. You're just young and like going through life in LA and craziness. You're driving out to Venice Beach and you're like, what's this crazy place? Whoa. Like, and it's Santa Monica Pier. Like, I think that's so,
Ferris wheel down here.
Seriously, it's like, there's a place called the Coffee Bean.
I think while you're killing some of the audience that like loves Emmanuel, that they don't even want to think she ever had a boyfriend, but it does speak to the fact that we all say this. She's one of the greatest, nicest people in this business. Like, it's just, I don't think there's a person on earth who would say anything bad about her.
I said to Doug, we're watching. I said, you know what, bro? I want to say I'm 90% positive that they lived together. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. That's not true. I'm like, now Doug had doubt creeping up in my head. So I text Emmanuel. I'm like, Emmanuel, I'm not crazy. they not only dated, lived together. Yes. And she was like, oh yeah, absolutely. But said, you guys were our guests at the premiere in London. So we thought.
Yeah, it was awesome. And she's the best. Shrieks is the best. And the reason why she's had such a successful career is because, and I'm a big believer of this in general. I think, if you're a good person, a good person to work with and stuff, it's like, you get hired for that. You get hired because people want to continue to work with you. And I think Shrieks is somebody that everybody, loves and her work is fantastic and she continues to work and kick ass. But I think,
just pleasant and working. Yeah. She's just pleasant to be around. She's happy to be there. She's not up EAD's ass about what time her call time was. She shows up.
Yeah.
And she's not an opportunistic person because Emmanuel could have spent a lot of time going, why don't I have more to do on this show? And she have deserved to have more to do on the show. But obviously we had a lot of characters. But AJ, you're the same way. And, I remember working with you and it was awesome.
It was, man.
And you've gone and had, which exactly is what I saw that day. I'm like, this guy's a fucking star. Yes. And
no, I appreciate that, man. That means a lot.
I called it out that day. I mean, we knew it when you read, but there is a difference making the jump from the room. Making the appear on set is a whole nother. You had the audition, but actually getting the best on set.
Because you get, it's like an Entourage that was like the biggest show going. And, it was like, again, where I was in my, with everything that was going on in my life financially and just sort of like chasing the dream. And it was like, you show up to the big set and stuff like that. But again, it was like, I was just so fucking excited to be there. And then, on a Ferris and it just kind of like end up in the whole location.
Remember this day?
Remember the helicopter? Something was going on with Paris Hilton that day. Like
Paris Hilton, I do remember Paris Hilton.
And the helicopters kept
Paris Hilton circling. Like turning herself. Had to turn herself in. So that was a helicopter. What? By the way, one of her multiple felonies. I don't know whatever felony she was being charged with at the time, but she was actually when she went to jail. So I guess she turned herself in. So there was like 8 helicopters flying over the set. AJ and I are literally like in the middle of the scene. All right, hold. Waiting for the helicopters. They're like, all right, clear. And then we would roll back.
I do remember that now, but you brought up.
There was 6 helicopters flying around, getting video of Paris trekking herself
the LA Kings.
You brought up Anna Faris and, you know, Conley.
Anna. Yes. And she got mad at me when I said Anna.
Well, I was telling these guys, it was a thing. Like, she wanted her name pronounced right.
I totally get it. I just was like, I was so nervous that I could never remember. Did she say Anna or Anna?
Right then,
I was overthinking it. And then I said it. And she's like, she was very sweet about it. She was like, it's Anna.
You know, Connolly goes by Kavan now. So you got to call him that. But
it's her name. Her name, though.
I like
it. It was Anna.
But Connolly said last week.
You said, I want to be called Dude.
Yeah.
I would say that's weird, but that's what you want to be.
But Connolly said last week, like, he felt like he was getting, like, Anna. Jesus. Anna was acting circles around him. So, I mean, at that time.
AJ.
AJ was acting. I think AJ steals every moment in that show. I really do.
And then other thing great about Anna, too, is that Anna was very, she was comfortable with the ball.
Yeah.
She was comfortable moving off the
ball. She's the best.
Just does it the right way.
How was that, AJ, at that time? I mean, you come in on a successful show, and you've got a big star cameo doing it. Did you have any nerves when you showed up or no?
Yeah, I think going into it, like I think driving up to the mansion and seeing everything, and I was just like, oh, and then it was like, but once I saw all you guys and we started,
and it's a comfortable,
and I saw I'd known Rob Weiss for a minute, and he was there that day, and he was like, just, you know, I was up and I was like, and he was like, you're killing. He was the best. I love that guy. But no, you guys made me really feel at home, and you know, it's like once you sort of feel that, you're having fun. It was such a lax set. And Gary, the AD, who I've worked with since then.
All right, go ahead. He's roaming.
Please give him my best.
I will.
He is the best. But it was not him. And so you guys ran the set. It was just like, it was a very welcoming place. I mean, we've all been to those sets where you show up and you're like, you're the guest star. And you're like, it's just very tense. Like you said, there's some actor that like wants to be shot out and you're like, okay. So you're reading with the scripty for your conference sheet. Like, all right, that was a great day.
But so funny
that happens
is that you brought up Weiss. I'm now dying because it's sometimes I remember really well where these stories came from. But Rob,
right? Weiss dated Shannon Doherty, but he wasn't.
No, well, I will never say he was, but Kevin Smith said he was because that's what happened. We had these couple of Kevin Smith lines where we attacked Kevin Smith, and they were really.
Well, Rob and Kevin Smith didn't get along.
Yeah, but the reason was because on Mallrats, Kevin Smith claims that Weiss was interfering. Now, I don't know if he was doing what AJ was doing in this show, but
it definitely wasn't Weiss. I'll tell you that.
AJ's like, well, by the way, I want to put on the record.
I'll tell you off air. I'll tell you is, and you'll be like, oh, God.
No, you got to tell us on air. But by the way, if Rob has, he's going to call me up because, what? How about a fucker come down here? You got a fucker.
Rob could have had a black vest on, too.
By the way, Tom Hart's vest, 100%.
Well, AJ,
go ahead. What were you going to say?
Hey, a question for you. So I've gotten addicted to pickleball. the thing. And it's, do you play? Have you obviously played yet, Kevin? You've got the gym.
I mean, they play a little bit. The guy sitting the cycle.
I know, dude. What is that amazing place with like the artwork that you're playing? Was he playing in like
his Eddie friend's $50 million house that he like to hit him around in on rainy day?
I was convinced it was at the Getty.
No, that's in La Quinta, California, and it's the greatest room in the world. And it is. I mean this, and I promise.
Is it temperature controlled?
It's temperature controlled. This is the greatest bar you've ever seen. Golf simulator, basketball. I promised I wouldn't talk pickleball because there's like three reviews on the podcast. Yeah. Like, we don't care, but this isn't pickleball. But this week was
an AJN
location.
Unsolicited star asked, but Indian Wells tennis tournament was this week. So they all come to this room like in Field of Dreams and want to play. So Jack Sock, who was top 10 in the world in tennis, played this week. Michael Chang, who won the French Open. Sam, who was top 10 also. So I got to play with all of them, and I can't walk this week, but it was
how are your knees holding up?
It's not even my knees, my lower back. And right now, I don't know if I have shin splints or a stress fracture in my lower leg. Conley's laughing at me. You can't get injured on a pickleball court because he plays in the Costa Mesa man's hockey with a bunch of
I've got some back injuries from the show. I took a bad fall, like season four, fell down a flight of stairs during a stunt. But I'm flying to Medellin to go get the stem cell done.
Oh, nice.
Bio accelerator. Fantastic. I did it. I went to Medellin and I did it. And they are, it is a first class operation over there. I
can't wait to go.
It's fantastic.
I can't wait to go.
All right. AJ, I was about to let you go, but now that you're talking about own stunts and now that I watched the Tom Cruise thing, which was the sickest thing I've ever done. I mean, see, this
is crazy.
So you're doing your own stunts or work?
Not anymore.
Yeah. We do as much as we can. I'm kind of a nut like that. Like I'll jump out of airplanes and do whatever. Not to the extent of what Tom Cruise does, but I'm a bit of a
adrenaline junkie.
But I love on the Blackhawks. My favorite thing to do is when we're tethered in is to stand on the skids and just be like peering out with my gun and just be like, it's like, and you're literally dangling out of the helicopter.
That sounds wild.
Banked.
Are there any actors that are completely opposite of you that are on this show that are like, this is fucking terrifying and I gotta...
They wouldn't be there, right?
I don't know. Let's see what he said.
I mean, look, I would say all of us went to our oh shit moment when we got on there because it was, you know, like even in the pilot when we were doing the camera tests and whatnot, we had sort of fake gear on and the team guys that were there, they're like, they're moving too easily. It has to be labored. Like they've got to wear the real stuff. Like, so we're wearing about 70... pounds of equipment on 70 to 100 pounds of equipment all day, every day. And they're like, yeah, you're more labored and all our guns and stuff are real and stuff. So at first we all went through like first time we're in a Blackhawk, it's super overwhelming. And then you're giving dialogue and you're firing and you can't, you know, I shoot the 249 and the Mach 48 with the flame that comes out of that is insane. So if I look at like how my gun handling was from season one to where it is now, it's like, I'd never really shot anything like this before. Now it's like, we're running drills with the guys and doing all this sort of stuff. It's like, it is night and day from where we started and how it was so overwhelming and terrifying because you're in these gunfights with all these guys and you're running down the hallways in close quarters and there's, you know, rounds going off. And so you really got to know where you are. And be aware of your nozzle is. And if you're not in check, someone can really get hurt. And it's happened on this. Yeah. And so you have to really know stuff. And then when you see the real guys do it, you're like, they'll show us and you're like, wow, okay, that's what we're supposed to look like. We have a long way to go. But it's like I said, once that learning curve of the oh shit moment, and then it turned into like, I can't wait to get back out there. It's awesome.
I got a question for you about this with the guns. Obviously, given what happened with Alec Baldwin, and
yeah,
started on the show what 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
Yeah,
we had limited guns on our show and things that I've done. But
yeah.
Did you know from the get go that you're responsible to make sure this weapon is like?
This is prior to the Alec Baldwin, the protocol from weapon to us and how it's checked and when it's taken off, it's cleared and there's a dialogue between our armory and stuff. Like it is so proficient that there would never be a live round anywhere near set. That's just, and even with how like around a live round and a dummy round looks, they're two completely different looking bullet. So, you know, it's actually terrible for what happened there. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in anyone's shoes, but on our show, it's incredibly, incredibly proficient.
But do you still get the gun and are you the last?
Oh, yeah.
Are you still going, I got to make sure I check everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Once you get on, the guy come over and check, clear the AD that communicates. And once then we all have to communicate weapons are hot. And then we go through because our some of our action scenes that we run, they'll run, like, it'll be like a minute and a half of like running to a spot and we've got drones and we're running three or four cameras and we've got helicopters going over. So it's like a choreographed routine and there's mortars going off. So you really have to know where, it's a very specific sort of path line that you have to follow and the amount of focus that you have to have and be aware. And then as soon as you're done, then everybody's appointed their guy, they come over, they take it. You only give your gun to one person. Then when they take it, and then as soon as the take is done, they give it back to you. And So it's a routine, but that was implemented on day one.
So people think this is a fantasy land, though, but you got young kids now. I mean, you come home from this day, you got to be exhausted.
Wrecked. Absolutely. Absolutely wrecked. We'll do like 14-hour land. From the CSI days of, you know, saying big words in a lab, I'm like, my brain is toast. But physically, we're done. And then there's a training on top of it that we do 4 or 5, 6 times a week. I've just started training back to get ready for the show right now. And it's pretty insane what we have to do for the, in the time frame. Cause you're running and gunning nonstop all day. And, but again, it doesn't feel like work. Yeah. Yeah, you're beat up, but it is. We got, you know, the cast, the incredible cast that we get to work with. And we're surrounded by, you know, real American heroes that are on set that we're telling their stories. And some of these guys are missing limbs and they aren't complaining ever. Right. So we need just, you know, so it's for me to be like, oh, you know, my back hurts or I'm sore. I need to shut the fuck up and realize I'm wearing makeup and playing pretend. It's perspective.
Awesome, AJ, man. I'm so happy for you that everything's going great.
Thanks. And if you guys are ever in South Carolina, I know you're a big foodie, Dougie. If you, the wife, and supper down here, it's like, please let me know. I'll take you guys out and take you fishing. And
love it.
It's a beautiful place to come out and visit. Anytime you're welcome.
Awesome.
Sure. Thank you so much, AJ.
Man, okay.
This guy dominates, huh? Unbelievable.
Take it, took over from you again.
There you go. All right.
We'll be in touch, AJ. Be good.
Thank you.
All right, take care. God bless. Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much, AJ.
All right. Who was it?
Are you there?
Yeah.
It's not recording, right? Okay. Brian Austin Green.
With Meg.
Yeah.
And what about
work?
What did Weiss do?
Weiss is just always the best, man. He always just had the coolest shoes. I just always remember, I just want to get cool shoes like that one day.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right, AJ. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. God bless.
Later.
Take care.
Where the real ones, just the funky feel ones. Where the real ones, just the funky feel ones. You know where the